is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
There are certain gifts that I wish I had, certain things I wish I could do, certain callings maybe, things that I wish I could do, and I could try to take it up on myself, but you know what? God has not equipped me or called me or enabled me for those things. And I could rant and cry and do everything I want, but the truth is, I have a role God's called me to. And guess what? What He has called me to, even my very gender was considered before I was born.
God knew us before we were born, even before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us and had a plan for us. Every one of our characteristics, as well as the journey we go through in life, can be used by Him to administer His will in and through us in a beautiful way. As Pastor Troy explains in today's message, we need to make the most of our God-given talents and gifts and take advantage of every opportunity we have to submit ourselves to His good and perfect will for us. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, He made into a woman. And He brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." There's an old proverb that says, "Woman was not taken from man's head to be above him. She was not taken from man's feet to be walked upon by him, but she was taken from his side to be close to his heart." This is the place that a woman actually excels, is close to a man's heart, close to the heart, walking side by side, being considered valuable, a help. Because of the tyrannical abuse of men with their selfishness and their strength, it's no wonder there has been an overreaction by feminist movements when they hear of things like, "Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands." Because we're thinking of the lion tamer. It says, "I want to do what I want to do. Just submit, woman." But that's not at all, as we go through this, what should be taking place. I think the scriptures are harder on the standard for men than for women. But these women's rights groups, they began to ask for something that I think was good, actually. "We want to be able to vote. We want to be valued," is what they were really saying. "Not, we don't want to be just an object again. You know, barefoot, pregnant, stay at home. Don't speak until spoken to." They didn't, and that's right. That's, the Lord brought them out of that. And so they said, we want to count. We want to matter. If there's a vote, we want to be heard too. So there's nothing wrong with the initial idea of the movement. But what happened with anything is you taste a little blood, and you go beyond, you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going. So that they said, not only that, but anything men can do, we can do better. We should have everything and do everything and have everything. We can do whatever we want to do. Sky's the limit. And that's true in the Lord, but not within the roles that God has given. And so they went a little extreme. But the deepest need, when you boil it all down to it, what stirred all of that, was a need given by God to women, which causes a society to work and which causes a marriage to work, that she feels close to his heart. Valued, significant, important, that she matters. Not over his head, not replacing him, not "we can do better than you," not competing with him, but valued and cherished, considered helpful and needed. And listen, it's man's responsibility to make her feel that way, to feel secure. Verse 24 says, therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Why he leave? Both really leave, but he leaves because he is going to involve himself in her life and make her feel secure. Not, hey, honey, oh, parents, oh, I'm half in, I'm half out. In fact, there are some marriages that continue to struggle because one or both members will not let go of mom and dad. Everything's mom said, oh, let me call my mom, let me call my dad, let me call my mom, let me call my dad. No, when you get married, it's time to leave and cleave. And you have to begin to learn to trust the Lord now with your family. I know that mom and dad has so much money. Mom and dad has all the resources. I know. They had to start too. And so do you. It's part of growing in the Lord. And parents, to deny them that opportunity to learn to depend on and grow in the Lord is to deny them to mature in the Lord and to depend on Him. And so we all start from the beginning. We all start out with little. We all start out with those companies trying to send us those credit card apps that we can fill out. And you need furniture. You're just married. And they, I don't know how they know. They stalk us. But as soon as you're married, you get all the furniture stuff, everything that you need. You can get it and you can get credit and you can get yourself into debt right away because they're quick about finding you. But see, when you grow up in a godly home, mom and dad have explained, hey, don't go into debt. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to prepare you for it. And so that you're ready for the onslaught of the enemy who wants to get you into debt right away so that your marriage has no chance. And so parents are to pour into their children. Let them start again. You're not going to let them fall. You're not going to let them fail. But you do want to let them struggle and grow so they learn to depend upon the Lord. They can't always depend upon you because here's what will happen. If they always depend upon you, their marriage is going to be a mess. They'll either move back in with you or they'll be fighting each other because one spouse is concerned because that spouse always goes to their parents and it's kind of one-sided. You've got to let them grow. And marriage becomes your ministry, your first ministry. If you don't want that as a ministry, don't get married. And within that ministry, just like any ministry, there are roles. Roles given by God. So now that we've got the foundation for God's creation and His order, where this all came from, we'll return to Ephesians. And notice that it says, be subject in everything. It didn't say 50% or 70% or even 90%. Be subject in everything. You know why? Because it's not about equity. It's about a role, a certain role. You may look at this and go, I don't agree with it. And you know what? That's, you're right. You can disagree. And you may even say, and I bring scripture as my witness. The scripture that says there's no longer male or female, Jew or Greek, free or slave. There's no rich or poor, none of that stuff. There's no longer those. But here's your problem with that one, if you're using that as your argument. That's not the context. See, the context for that scripture is in relationship to God. Women, you don't have to go through men to get to God anymore. Slaves, you don't have to go through a master to get to the Lord. Rich, they don't have a closer relationship than the poor can have. Masters don't have a better relationship than slaves could have. Everyone has equal access. There's no longer these roles that make someone closer to the Lord because that's what they had seen in Jerusalem. That's what the synagogue services were all about. Certain could sit close. Others had to sit in certain rooms. Others couldn't even be inside. But now he says all that's done away with. Everyone has equal access. That's what that scripture's about. But he never said there weren't roles. He never denied what God had established. There were still servants and masters. There were still men and women, clearly. It's not bad that you don't like the role. What's bad is when you won't abide by the role. That's what we call rebellion. There are certain gifts that I wish I had, certain things I wish I could do, certain callings maybe, things that I wish I could do, and I could try to take it up on myself, but you know what? God has not equipped me or called me or enabled me for those things. And I could rant and cry and do everything I want, but the truth is, I have a role God's called me to. And guess what? What He has called me to, even my very gender was considered before I was born. It's not like I surprised God. Like, oh man, I'm going to make this one a pastor. I hope it's a boy. Oh, it's a boy. All right. No. He knows already in advance. And he's the one that gives the guidelines, limitations, all of that. So we can go, let's connect the dots here. Could God be doing this? Is this something God would have me do? Well, here's my limitations. Here's my parameters. No. Or yes, it could be. That's what limitations and parameters help us to do. Get rid of some things that aren't from the Lord. If you don't want to fulfill a certain role within the husband and wife relationship, you don't like it, I don't want to fulfill it. Whether it's the woman who says, I don't want to be in that role of yieldedness. Or the man who says, I don't want to be accountable for somebody else's life. I don't want God coming to me because there's trouble in the home. If you don't want that, guess what? Don't get married. You don't have to. Isn't that cool? You don't have to get married. But if you're going to get married, God has established roles, and that's the way it works. Now, the word submit, it doesn't give the husband the role of a dictator. The word submit, and I'll mention it again in a moment, but the word submit gives this picture. It's the picture of someone who is demonstrating trust in the Lord over something that is not in their control. You've experienced that with the Lord, haven't you? Something's not in your control. You got to submit. You got to, I don't know, Lord. And you got to submit yourself to him. Well, he says, I'm going to take control here. You're not going to be in total control. I'm going to put this fool over you. And so you are going to grow in faith, woman, like you never have before. You could never grow in any other way. You're going to so trust in me.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
You know, I've even had my wife, this doesn't mean one that you kind of submit and go, whatever you want, honey, I have no brain. You have a brain, you have gifts, you have input, you're to be valued. We'll talk about that on the guy's side, but you come and you bring that information and hopefully he takes all of that, considers you, considers what's important, and then he makes a final decision. When a decision has to be made, someone has to make it. And so he makes it, and if you feel like, oh, that was not the right decision, you can feel that way. But now it's not in your hands. Now you have to turn to the Lord, and you should trust the Lord and say, Lord, will you get a hold of that fool? And guess what the Lord will do? He may talk to you and say, no, you're the fool. You need to be straightened out, because watch what I'm going to do. I saw some husbands go, oh. But it also may be true. What you're saying, wife, may be true. And God's going to do a work. And God has a way when at the end of all of that, you see God bringing him to a conclusion that you've been praying about. And you see God do the work. You can glorify God and go, thank you. Instead of trying to control and manipulate and nag and do all of that, which is horrible for any marriage. You see God doing it, it builds the relationship. It adds to it, builds your faith, and it does some things for him as well as he learns and he grows in the Lord. And God does it all the time. He does it with my wife. She prays, and she privately prays for things. I'm making a decision, and then I'll finally make a certain decision and go, you know, I've been thinking, and I switch, and she goes, oh, I've been praying for that. And I'm like, you've been praying for that? and I know she had been because of our discussions in the past. I made a certain decision, but I thought she dropped it and that she's been praying. And so now it's like, she won. I go, Lord, whose side are you on? Oh, I got to remember. Not mine, not hers. Sometimes she's right, sometimes I'm right. But ultimately, we both want to follow the Lord. Is that not true? And so we have to let God do the work. And we got to be in our roles for him to do the work. Because if we go outside of our bounds, now we are taking control. So the word submit does not mean the husband is to be a dictator. But here's what it does mean. Ultimately, God holds the man accountable for the condition of the home. Ultimately, God holds him accountable. I don't care who thinks they're running things. God goes to the man. I don't care what Eve thought when she grabbed that fruit. Who did God go to first? The man. He went to Adam. Not only that, but when we look in the New Testament, in Romans, it talks about whose sin? Adam's. Adam's sin. Now, I don't know if that means Adam wasn't fulfilling his role, protecting, guarding his wife, keeping her safe so she wasn't in a compromising situation or what. But for whatever reason, God pins him as responsible. With that responsibility given to the man in the home, there's also authority that has to come with it. You can't be held responsible if you have no authority to make decisions. And so he gives the authority, but he also gives full responsibility. Now, he comes to the man, and it's your responsibility, John. Even if the man defers. You know what defer means? You may not know what it means, but you probably do it. Defer means you decide. I don't want to own it. You do it. Then that way, if something happens, it's on you. But God says, oh no, then you have decided. See, that's your decision. You have given that person the right, the authority, whatever it is, but it's under your decision-making authority. So, Mr. Husband, I'm going to you. If things fall apart, wife's running them up, making a mess, gossiping all over town, I'm coming to you because you have made that decision to not do anything or to defer. The whole role of submission has to do with love and trust. I'll explain in just a moment. You can defy God's order, but you're only going to invite unhappiness and unfulfillment into the relationship on both sides. I'm going to explain that, going back to the idea of the role of submission having to do with love and trust. First of all, it has to do with trusting the Lord. Can you trust the Lord enough to fulfill that role, to trust him? You have value. We're going to see that. But can you trust the Lord? But second, there is something that your husband needs that when you fulfill that role, it meets in him. And that is the need to be trusted and supported. Every man has that need. They may not say it. No, I don't need that. Yes, you do. We do. It brings value to us. Even when we make mistakes, what we don't want to come back to is, I told you so. Sometimes, depending on the attitude of the heart, well, I was praying for you. We don't need that. What we need is to learn and grow in the Lord and to have our wives support us as we learn and grow ourselves. So it gives them trust and support. That's why it says in verse 33, let the wife see that she respects her husband. If you want a successful marriage, you got to do it God's way. It's a relationship that's designed with the intention of illustrating Christ's relationship and how it works to the church. That means it requires faith, submission, and trust in the Father. Now to the man, God gives the greater responsibility. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The next thing, obviously, is the husband's role. We're blazing through this, really. This could be broken down into so much more detail. But we want to continue with the relationship overview. One of the big arguments couples have is they say this, as I've talked to couples in the past about these roles. Well, I would do my role if they would do their role. If they would just do their role, I would do my role. So the husband is saying, if she would submit, I could love her better. And what she's saying is, well, if he would love me, I would submit. I could do my role if it weren't for them. So the question is, who should be first? Well, the best general answer is this. Those who are mature in the Lord should be first. They should fulfill their role. But let me give you a more clear answer as it relates to the roles. If the husband is to represent Christ in the home, and Christ was the initiator of love, then whose responsibility would it be to initiate? It's the husband's. It says that Christ, just as Christ gave himself, love always gives itself first. Submission, trust, all of those things are a response to that. Love has to operate first. You can submit yourself to someone who has abusive ideas and tendencies, and that doesn't help anyone. So you can submit and not change anything, but love, whenever it's initiated, it always changes things. And so the role of love should initiate. Many times wives fail to or even are afraid to submit to their husbands because they don't trust them. Maybe baggage from a previous relationship, those are consequences of sin. Maybe because they've seen how selfish you are, husband, or how foolish your decisions have been. They say, submit to that? I don't think so. You can often tell when things aren't right in the home and a husband will come in and he will say, I'm having problems at home, and it begins with her submission. She won't submit. And right away, I can tell that by his attitude, he's also not doing his part. And so the question is, when was the last time you did things to make your wife feel secure that if she submits to you, you've got her best interest at heart, and that you've got the Lord that you're following, that what you're getting is from the Lord, not from you? You're not just dragging her around. Submit, woman. Husbands, the best way to fulfill your role is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, to pursue him with all of your heart, to do what he says to do, to put him first, and to let your wives see that you are a man under submission to him. That changes everything for her. The more you love God and the more you show your submission to him, the easier it will be for your wife to submit to you, knowing that I want to follow the Lord and I see a man who is following the Lord. Therefore, of course I want to go that direction. The word submit, it means literally to respond with support, to respond in support of, to submit to that. It's not the lion tamer picture, you know, not that. It's the, okay, this is where we're going. Okay, I'm going to come alongside and support, not fight. Support. That's the word. Your job, husband, is to give her something to support, something to respond to, which should be coming from the Lord, not from you.
That's all the time we have for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely will return soon with more from his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Ephesians. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about how what you've heard today can be applied to your own life. We'd also like to encourage you to get involved in a local church. And if you live in or are visiting the San Antonio, Texas area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? Our church meets every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. At each service, you'll be able to join us for a time of fellowship, Bible study, study and worship. Go to buildingonthesolidrock.com for more information, and be sure to tune in again for more from the book of Ephesians right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in